Feels Impossible. Written by Bittercape and read by Kaber. This is a DC Marvel crossover fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationship between Clint and Natasha, and Bucky slash Clint slash Jason. It is part 10 of Snow on the Beach.
Afraid to jinx it, I don't even dare to wish it. But your eyes are flying saucers from another planet. Now I'm all for you like Janet. Can this be a real thing, can it? Are we falling like snow at the beach? We're fucking beautiful.
Clint watches as Nat weaves through the crowd, following their target. The target is dangerous on her own, and her security makes matters worse, but Nat is unquestionably the very best. She follows, Clint watches. He makes good use of Jason's grappling gun, swinging soundlessly across the rooftops as Nat and her target move through the city, through markets packed with people and silent narrow alleys, across busy plazas and quiet shopping streets. The streetlights catch glimpses of Nat's hair, dark brown for the occasion, or her coat, sporadically, but he very much doubts anyone else would be able to track her. Not that she uses disguises. No, her clothes are plain and nondescript for the most part. Tights and a trench coat she keeps open or closed, a bright scarf she put on at one point where she had to get closer and then dropped on a bench in passing. Mostly, her disguise is in body language, and it's always fun to watch. Bucky can do something similar, though not to the same degree. Jason can make himself look smaller, less imposing than his actual size, but nothing like this. Clint can't do it at all, but then again, he does better work from the rooftops. Nat has closed in on her target again, after giving her distance for the last couple of blocks. She's moving confidently now, attracting attention, somehow giving the impression of wealth and glamour, while still wearing the same tights and trench, now buttoned to the top and tightly belted. The target watches her as she passes, appreciative. The security looks bored. Clint, knowing Nat's plans, rambles ahead to the intersection where she's making the lift. He has to actually work to recognize her. Her hair, which was loose and flowing, is now in a sleek and tight ballerina bun, and her coat is folded over her arm. She moves differently, seems about a decade younger, and looks like she's come straight out of a dance studio. The sleeves of her thin, knit sweater frayed, thumbs put through ragged holes. Just as she passes her target, she turns back as though she's heard someone calling, coat flaring out with her movement, close to the target. The security doesn't react, and she turns back, keeps walking, moves away in the same way she approached. Slightly sore and tired from dancing, but young and relatively carefree. She slips into the alley and disappears. Clint keeps following the target, but by the time she enters the restaurant where she's selling the information Nat just swiped, she still hasn't noticed it's gone. Nat is on the rooftop when he returns, coat folded up over her head and hair loose again. She's looking up at the sky, where a few stars are visible, stubbornly outshining the glare from the city below. "Beautiful work," he says, and drops down beside her. She smiles, unguarded and pleased in a way she rarely does. "This was fun," she tells the sky. "We should do more of these missions." Clint agrees, and she knows. Lower risk, bigger payoff. Hell, if Fury won't agree, they can go solo at this point. "You miss them," she adds, out of nowhere. "I always do," Clint answers. There's no point in trying to deny it. She'd see right through him. And he trusts her with everything, anyway. "They're good for you," she says. "They're good to you. And you deserve happiness." Clint blinks, not really able to find the words. She gets like this sometimes. Bluntly honest, openly appreciating who he is. He never knows what to do with it. However, she adds, giving him a dark look, if you make me drag you out of your apartment like that again, I'll make you regret it. Clint grins widely at the sky. He should have known. The whole thing went so well. For a short time, he forgot that he doesn't get that kind of luck, and what with his overwhelming, insane luck with his boyfriends, he's bound to experience catastrophe on the regular. Clint has this entire train of thought in the brief moment after his foot slips on one of the stone steps outside the coffee shop, at the same time as he's thinking about how unbelievably cute that dog is. And also has the brain capacity to make the dubious decision that holding two cups of coffee upright is much more important than landing on his feet. To his credit, the coffee remains unspilled, even as he sprawled on the pavement. The end.
Thanks to you, and it's like snow at the beach, weird but fucking beautiful, flying in. Dream stars by the pocket fold. You wanting me tonight feels impossible, but it's coming down, no sound, it's all around like snow on the beach.